Our lesson today comes from Jeremiah 23:9-22. It's page 555 in your pew Bibles. That's Jeremiah 23:9-22. And I would encourage you all to keep your Bibles open because we'll make reference to the text several times. We read in Jesus' name. Concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. Because of the curse, the land mourns, and the pastures of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil, and their might is not right. Both prophets and priests are ungodly. Even in my house I have found their evil, declares the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery paths in the darkness, into which they shall be driven and fall. For I will bring disaster upon them in the years of their punishment, declares the Lord. In the prophets of Samaria I saw an unsavory thing. They prophesied by Baal, and they led my people of Israel astray. But in the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery, and they walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns from his evil, and all of them have become like Sodom to me, and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with bitter food and give them poisoned water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. And they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Please pray with me. Make me know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead us all now into your truth and teach us all, for you are the God of our salvation. We pray now that you make our hearts wait on you all day and every day, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. This is a stethoscope. As you know, many of you are familiar with it. It's for listening to hearts or diagnosing pneumonia or cracking a safe or something. So I figured since we're going to talk about listening to hearts, we should give it a whirl. So let's see what it has to say. Hey, a heart. Are Jesus and Baal and Muhammad and Zeus and Wayne Gretzky, are they actually all the same God? Yep. How about you, Bible? What do you say? No. Okay, well, that was predictable. How about this? Does God want me to repent of my sin? Nah. Yes. Okay. How about this? Is adultery wrong? The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, well, that was kind of obvious. What about you, heart? Is adultery wrong? Maybe, maybe, maybe. How could that mess up my microphone? How could that be maybe? There's no maybe about it. Adultery's wrong. And yet, thanks to that embarrassing stunt, now you all know apparently my heart doesn't agree. Why is that? Well, I have an uncomfortable truth to share with you all. My name is Kevin Hall. I'm the intern pastor here at Prince of Peace. And I have a desperately sick heart. And you know what's even more uncomfortable than that? I know something about all of you. Because the Bible tells me so. And because all of you, like me, were born with a heart so desperately sick that we can't even fathom or understand its capability for evil. We can't even fathom or imagine our heart's ability to rationalize or self-justify or explain the evil that we do and that we desire to do. That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and disastrously sick. It's beyond all comprehension even. And yet, many of us have followed our own hearts unquestionably. How many of us have stood by and watched, or even worse, have advised others to just follow your heart? And how scary is that when we think about it? Telling your fellow man that to follow their heart is like telling them, hey, you know that thing that tells you to do stuff that's sinful or hurtful or self-destructive because it just doesn't really care about right and wrong? You should follow that thing. And yet many of us, if not all of us, have told others to do that from time to time. Because the idea that we should follow our heart is just everywhere. But even though the idea that everyone should follow their heart is a problem in our day, it's not a new problem. Apparently it was pretty bad in Jeremiah's day too. Because in verse 11, we see even the priests and the prophets were telling people to follow their own hearts. And everyone that listened to them was led astray. All those people were now faced with God's wrath and condemnation instead of enjoying God's blessing and salvation. That's why, brothers and sisters, we don't follow our hearts. We don't follow each other's hearts. We shouldn't ever follow anyone's hearts but the heart of God. Because all of our hearts lead us astray. But here we need to stop and define what Bible means by heart, because in our daily life, when someone says follow your heart, it conjures up ideas of Disney princesses and rainbows and fairy tales or whatever. In American life, when someone says follow your heart, it means do whatever your emotions tell you to do. And we don't actually have to explore that a lot to see what the problems with it are. Because, look, listening to and understanding your emotions, that's a good and healthy thing to do. But blindly following them, that's just impulsive and self-centered. Look, our emotions lie to us all the time. They say things like, I feel like, you know, if I just did that thing or the other thing or I quit doing this or whatever, then I feel like I would probably finally be happy. So we buy the thing and we travel to the place and we do whatever and we find out, well, that was kind of nice, but I don't know that it necessarily made me happy. Way to go, emotions. You're about as predictable or good at predicting stuff as the weathermen. So that's probably why in our world there's as many people cynical about following our emotions as they are about following the weathermen. There's a ton of people in our world who will tell you, you can't trust or follow your emotions. You need to think things through. So then what we end up with is people kind of take sides. Some people are on the emotions side, and some people are on the thinking team, and we deny that the two have anything in common. In our language, the heart is like the captain of the emotions team, and the mind is the general of the thinking team. So in our culture, the heart and the mind are kind of opposite of each other. So then, when I say to you, we don't follow our hearts, you're tempted to finish that sentence with, because our minds know better. We don't follow our hearts because our minds won't lead us astray. But hear this, brothers and sisters, that is not true. In fact, our text today is teaching us just the opposite. Look with me at verse 16. It's talking about the religious leaders who are leading all of Jerusalem into exile and hell. And it says, they fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. And what's the result? How does God deal with those who use their minds to lead people astray without ever repenting? Verse 19 says, judgment day will be like a tornado landing on their heads. You see, in the Hebrew mindset, the heart isn't just the collection of emotions, but it's the whole inner thought life. So when the Old Testament speaks about the heart, most of the time it's not just talking about feelings. The heart in the Old Testament includes a person's thoughts and feelings. So when God warns us that our heart is desperately wicked, He's saying that both our feelings and our thoughts are. We can be led astray by both our feelings and our thoughts, which means both our desires and our plans are capable of unspeakable evil. So it doesn't matter whether you're the kind of person who chases rainbows and unicorns, or if you're a statistician that's telling everyone to stop being so emotional and just pay attention to the data. Look, if it's your own data, if it's your own idea, or if it's your own vision, it's just from your own heart and you should not follow it. So, all right, I need to slow down for a second here because all of you still have a sinful old heart like me. And so by now, you have a little voice in your head saying, like, hey, what are you talking about? I'm not actually that evil. Not everything I do is evil. So why are you calling us all evil? Would an evil person sit and listen to a sermon? I'm not that evil. Just ask anybody. Basically, what we're noticing here is it really doesn't seem like everyone is that evil, especially not evil beyond recognition. So why is that? It's because believers have two hearts, which is really confusing, because first I told you that heart means heart and mind, and now I'm telling you that believers have two hearts. But listen, not everyone has two hearts. Believers have two hearts. Look at Ezekiel 36 with me. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will give you a new heart. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You see, back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, their heart turned to stone. Their thoughts and their emotions and their desires and their plans, everything about them turned to evil. It turned to spiritual stone. And because of that, everyone born from them is born with spiritual hearts of stone. But God came to their rescue. He gave them a promise to trust in for their salvation, and He gives us salvation. that same promise. He sprinkles clean water on us. He makes us clean. He washes our sin away and He pulls us into a covenant of grace. And when He does, He takes our totally depraved heart of stone and He fills it with the Holy Spirit. And when He does that, He restores our heart to the heart of flesh. It was always supposed to be. So when we say don't follow your heart, what we mean is don't follow your old heart of stone. Don't follow that thing that's whispering in your ear right now. It's okay. You're not that bad. You don't need Jesus and you don't need the Bible. You don't even need church. Just keep trying to be a good person and be true to yourself. Don't listen to that thing. That thing is wicked and sneaky beyond all belief. And when we say it will lead you astray, we mean that it'll lead you away from God's covenant of grace and straight into God's wrath. Look back with me at verse 12. They will be banished to darkness and there they will fall. Who's God talking about there? Well, if we look at the end of verse 17, they are the people who despise God and instead follow their own stubborn hearts. It's a blatant lie if you tell someone, just follow your heart, you got to be true to yourself, God will understand and no harm will come to you. That's a blatant lie, and the Bible's calling it out right here. So, you know, one day when you're sitting in Dairy Queen and you're talking with your friend about the big life choice they have to make or whatever, and they say, well, I don't really know what to do, so I think I'm just going to follow my heart. You can say, so what do you mean by that? Do you mean follow your old heart? Because we should probably have a conversation about that. And then you can pull your Bible out if you have it, or you can pull your cell phone out, because I hope you all have a Bible on your cell phone. By the way, if you don't, find a free one and put it on there. And say, let's see what Jeremiah 23 has to say about this. You need to follow the heart of God. And look, if you don't have two hearts, let's fix that. Jesus Christ is calling you today, right now, to place your faith in Him. Jesus died on the cross so you can stop following that old heart and start following His. If you don't have a new heart, or if you had one and somewhere along the way you quit listening to it, stop. Stop following your old heart and start following Jesus. Well, how do I do that? What does that mean? How do I follow Jesus? Okay, well, take a look at that. But first, let's look at some of the heart's dirty old tricks so we can at least catch it in some of its deception. Look at that list of tricks. It's pretty long, and that's not an exhaustive list. That's just what's mentioned in our text today. Your old heart will tell you to commit adultery because, hey, if it feels good, you should probably do it. Your heart will ask, who is God to tell me what I can and cannot do with my body? If it feels right, it must be right. Well, the truth is, the joy of sex is only rightly used inside marriage between a man and a woman. Your old heart will tell you, go ahead and abuse power because who's going to stop you anyways? Your old heart will tell you to believe lies about God because you're a pretty smart person and nothing gets past you. You would know if someone was lying to you. Besides, who is God to, who gave God the right to tell us what pronoun to use to address Him? Your old heart will tell you to worship idols because according to your old heart, all these idols are just God by a different name. And worshiping idols is just way more fun. Besides, who is God to tell me how He wants to be worshiped? Your old heart will tell you to lead people astray. Because your old heart couldn't walk straight if it wanted to, which, by the way, it doesn't. Your old heart will gladly live a lie because our old hearts are pretty cool with hypocrisy. Your old heart will do whatever it takes to take credit for your righteousness. In fact, your old heart will tell you to do good stuff so that you can forget about the sin in your life. Your old heart will do whatever it takes to convince you that you are righteous without Jesus Christ. But our righteousness always comes from Jesus Christ. Your old heart will strengthen evildoers because it can always invent a reason or a justification for the evil that it does. Besides, who is God to decide what's evil? Your old heart hates sharing the gospel. Your old heart wouldn't share the gospel with someone if you gave it a dilly bar for doing it. Your old heart will come up with every single excuse possible when God puts an opportunity in front of you to share the word with someone else. You know, who am I to do that? Or, I don't know enough about the Bible to do that. Or, that guy's probably not interested in Jesus anyways. Or, you know, I'm a sinner like her. How can I tell her that she needs to repent? In fact, I can't even tell her that I forgive her because that would also be telling her that she did something wrong to me. So why does your old heart hate evangelism so much? Because your old heart could care less about sin. Your old heart sees no reason to even want to repent of sin. Your old heart has Stockholm syndrome. It's in love with its captor. Even though sin will ruin your life and separate you from intimacy with God and your fellow human beings, the last thing in the world that your old heart wants you or anyone else to do is repent of their sins. And so when the time comes to share the gospel, our old heart will always make us afraid that we can't do it right. As if the power to share the gospel comes from us. But it doesn't come from us. It comes from God's word. But if we listen to our old hearts instead of our new one, we won't call people to repentance and salvation. Instead, we will just spread ungodliness. Because that's what our old heart wants to do. It wants us to be God. And which is about as ungodly a way to live as possible. This one's not on the list, but I added it late. Our old heart will tell you not to put the Bible on your cell phone. But seriously, put the Bible on your cell phone. It's a concealed weapon that you don't need a permit to carry. So. And finally, our old heart will give us false hope and a false comfort in a false salvation that comes from a false God. One that doesn't care about sin. And quite frankly, brothers and sisters, it's way easier to tell people you will have peace than it is to tell them the truth. And here's the truth. Our God cares about sin. He wants to save you from your sin, and he wants to use you to save others as well. If you follow your own heart instead of his, he can't save you. And if we run around telling people, nah, you're fine, just follow your own heart and you'll have peace, that lie only leads them further from the truth and makes them harder to save. In our day, a very present example of this is the rainbows that we see on bumper stickers and hanging from some churches. Look with me again at verse 17. Now, in Genesis, the rainbow literally means peace. It's literally God's sign of peace to people. It means you will have peace. And yet, nowadays, it is being used to tell people who, in the stubbornness of their own hearts, are living in sinful rebellion against God, no harm will come to you. It's terrifying, brothers and sisters, how directly verse 17 condemns that movement. Today's rainbow movement claims to be about tolerance and love, but when you hold it up against Jeremiah 23:17, we realize it's about as unloving as you can possibly be. And yet, what's even more humbling and terrifying is that we ourselves, it's only by the grace of God that we ourselves are not captive to that movement. So how did we get that grace? How do we share that grace with our neighbors who so desperately need it? How do we get this new heart, and what do we need to know so we know we are following God's heart and not our own? Well, we learn to follow God's heart the same way we got our new heart in the first place, through the gospel. We follow God's heart by hearing and studying and obeying His word. Look at verse 18. The error of the false prophets was that they did not listen to God's word. Or look at verse 22. If they had stood in God's counsel, not only would they have followed Him, they would have proclaimed the truth to everyone else. And they would have turned from their evil and their sin as well. So listen, apart from pouring the Word of God into your life, your deceitful heart will lead you astray. But the Word equips us with the truth that we need to not only follow God, but to proclaim God's love to everyone around us, both with our words and our actions. This is why, brothers and sisters, that we need to be in the Word. This is why there's great blessing through the extra churchy things, like adult Sunday school. My slides aren't switching here. Adult Sunday school and Bible studies and our personal devotions. Not only are those things a protection for us, they keep us from following our old hearts and from going astray. And they fill our new hearts so that we can lead others back to Jesus. I pray that all of you will use these things to fill your hearts and to stand in the counsel of God as much as possible. I really hope to see full adult Sunday school classes and full Bible studies in the fall, so that instead of falling prey to our old hearts, we can receive the promise that Jesus gave us in John 7:38. When Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Amen.